Welcome to Highway Christian Community Sermon Downloads. For more sermons, please visit our website. We know you will be blessed as you listen. Take care and God bless.
We really love the worship, the music, and it just made it so easy to come in to the family of God and enjoy His presence. Isn't that good? Go to the table, remember what Jesus did, sing through these songs, the victory, the glory of this unending love that God has for us, and just have a sense that I belong to a family that I love, that love me, where I can be held accountable to God. I can be held in submission to God. That's a beautiful place to be. Amen? Amen. And thanks, Jan, for the last couple of weeks, the series you've been doing. You know, I'm so amazed. I get so proud when my wife gets up here. We've been doing this now. It's our 25th year in the full-time ministry as pastors. And I remember the times when she would be too shy to have said grace at a church function. She would have begged me not to make her say grace. She would have been in fear and trepidation and threatened divorce and then maybe murder and then whatever. And to see her just loving the Word of God, understanding the finished work of the cross, and then translating it through a very difficult topic of spiritual warfare. Because a lot of people are ignorant that they are actually in a spiritual warfare, that Satan is real. We might not have had a personal encounter with him. He's only one spirit in one place. He's not omnipresent. But the demonic hordes that think they can intimidate us and lie to us about our identity and about what God feels about us. And if we don't know how to exercise spiritual warfare, we are sunk in the water. Did you hear what I said? But to get that wrong and to make it again about what I've got to do to convince God to fight my battles brings me into as much bondage. So Jan, well done on an outstanding series. She comes to finish it this morning as she comes up. Let me also say, next week, I think it's the 19th or something. Is that right? The 19th and then the 26th, she says I'm allowed to preach again. So I want to be sharing over those two Sundays what I deeply in my spirit have heard from God for us as a church for 2018. And it really is burning in my heart. It's at the stage where it can keep me awake at night. And I want to come and just start unpacking some of that. So if you are here over the next 2 weeks, that's what you're going to hear looking at next year. But all that, and now to say, oh yes, and then I have been sending out emails kind of in the middle of the week called the blog, fancy word for a short blurb. If you still haven't received it, and if you still would like it, please get us your correct email address. And if you've given the email address and you still haven't got it, then come and shout at us in a nice way. Next Sunday, there'll be a clipboard with two blocks to tick on that. Because I've had now three people come and say, I filled in, I'm still not getting. So there's a glitch in the system. But Jan, these series have been really outstanding. Thank you. God bless you.
Oh, I'm about to take the microphone. Okay. Welcome, everybody. Good morning. Did you bring your lunch with the church? You know the coffee bar has been doing pretty well over the last couple of weeks. You know why? Sorry to those that I have really gone on a lot. But you know what? There's just so much that I have learned in preparing this series that I kind of just wanted for every single one of you. I know it takes so much time to get this information together, and I know many of you are at work during the week, and to get this information takes me a lot of time, so I'm just praying that I can unload it onto you today and that you would receive it. Could you take the hand of the person next to you, please? And so, after me. Father God, take the scales off of my eyes, unblock my ears, open my heart, and let me hear what you have to say to me today. And help Janet to be short and to the point in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, today I'm going to speak on spiritual warfare. Everybody's clapping because I said I was going to try and be short. Okay, today I'm going to speak on spiritual warfare, part 4, and we're going to cover the armor of God. So do you all feel like you're back in Sunday school? Stephen said, I hope it's not going to be too children churchy. I hope so as well. What I want to say just in opening is we are all in a spiritual warfare, whether you believe it or not, like it or not, because we are spirit beings born of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we are brand new creations in God, never seen before on planet Earth. And we've got spiritual weapons, not natural weapons. Do you like my picture? That's the picture we all have of spiritual warfare. Hey, oh heck, reminded me a little bit of Joe. Whoops, do I have something under my kilt? No, you're not Scottish, you aren't. You're Scottish, eh? Yeah. Do I have something under my kilt? Okay, the Roman soldier. Basically, we're spirit beings, and if we're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, the devil has an unfair advantage over us. Because it's a spirit war, not a natural war. All the little kids love to say, I'm powerful, I'm going to beat up the devil. But it's really, really not a natural war. So we have to be prepared for that. So basically, we are superheroes. All of us, who wants to be a superhero? Say, I am a superhero. Because you're clothed in God's armor. Okay, and then also just going through the notes, like looking up on Google, you know, the whole thing of the armor of God. It actually broke my heart just to see the lot of rubbish that's out there that have been putting on, that the teachers put on people and preachers put on people in regards to the armor of God. Seriously, you don't have to wake up every day and get dressed. And I'm really praying that today you're going to understand you are always fully clothed in the armor of God. So that's what I want to bring it out. Okay, so you're not going to wake up in the morning and go, oh, shoot, did I leave my helmet in the lounge, the dining room? Or did I pack it away up at the top shelf? Oh, gosh, today I've got to go out without a helmet of salvation. And maybe the devil's just going to get at me. Okay, so basically I have a picture. And it was amazing of when I was bringing this teaching of what the armor of God looked like. And Heather phoned me in the middle of while I was preparing. And she said, you know what? I've just had a picture. Would you like to share your picture, quick head, of what the armor of God looked like? And it was identical to the one I had. So I was like so excited.
Morning, everyone. Okay. So I was driving to work and worship music on, etc. And then thinking of something completely different. And then this image popped in my head of the armor of God. And I didn't know she was doing it this week, etc. But and the picture was, okay, and this sounds a bit weird. And I don't know why God does this to me. I get these weird pictures. But I saw a breastplate of, well, a breastplate. You know, like the Roman one you saw there, but it was gold, beautiful, engraved, etc. But then it kind of went, you know, in these movies where, you know, there's a lot of effects. No, looked like that. It kind of went almost shimmery and see-through, and then it kind of went into my chest. So it actually went into me. Okay, and then I saw the breastplate. I mean, the helmet, beautiful, you know, like Romany one, and it did the same thing. It kind of shimmered with gold, and then it kind of went see-through and invisible and into my head. And the same with my shoes. And I'm wearing my high heels to work. You know, and like, what's going on? And then it's like they shimmer, and like these shoes went into my feet. I didn't do the shield and the sword thing, but I'm just those three and the belt. Yeah, the belt definitely as well went into me, and I kind of my stance pick went straighter. And for me, the Holy Spirit whispered, because there's a lot happening in my work. I'm doing a lot of spiritual warfare. I'm in law, and I've got witnesses who threatened, etc. So I've been praying over them, praying over my cases. And
not too long, Heather, taking my time.
Sorry, but I've just felt that God was saying, well, Holy Spirit was saying, the breastplate is my righteousness. Yeah. Jesus is my righteousness, and He's in you already. The helmet is your salvation, the helmet of salvation. When you're saved, He's in you. You have the mind of Christ. The belt of truth keeps everything together, and it's in you. It makes you stand up, and you actually have the identity and more authority in Christ. And the feet, of course, the shoes are willing to go and just, they're wanting to dance and go and tell everyone about Jesus. And they're in you already.
Okay, thanks, Ed. You know, I don't believe that the armor looks anything like that very first picture that we've had depicted to us since you went to Sunday school. Nothing like that. I've got a picture further down. I should have actually put it up now. We look more like a superhero where this armor has morphed itself into our bodies. It doesn't come off. Sorry for you. And that's why the Bible says that you are a brand new born-again creation, never seen before on planet Earth. That's what you are as a Christian. I believe that if Paul had to write about the armor of God today, he would have said you're in a tank, or he would have said that you're in some kind of a force field, or he would have done a completely different analogy to what he used in the days of the Romans. So basically, we're spirit beings fighting a spirit battle filled with the Holy Spirit, and we've got a spirit weapon. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5 says, "For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish," that's to destroy, "strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." You see, we don't have natural weapons, and neither are strongholds natural places. So if you want to climb to the top of a tower to break the stronghold over the city of Durban, you're welcome to do it. But at the same time, it's nothing that we're called to do, because a stronghold speaks about a lie, a pretension, or something that has set itself up in your mind that the devil has fortified. That's it's a fort that he sets up in your mind, and he will always, that's why you say like your life feels like a broken record, because it's the same thing that'll happen to you repeatedly. It's basically he's fortifying that lie that he has put into your mind from when you were a child or your very first bad incident that you experienced. So strongholds in our mind, they are mental arguments. And the devil, when he puts a stronghold into your mind, he uses the word I am stupid. And then he will fortify it by using the word you. You are stupid. And he'll get people all around you to tell you how stupid you are. That is a stronghold that has come into your mind. And the Bible says we have spiritual weapons that break down all these pretensions. You need to identify the strongholds. And then just also, it is not our obedience that we have to pull it under, because our obedience sucks. It's Christ's obedience. He's the only person who is fully obedient. I spoke last week on how Satan hates you because you're created in the image of God. If somebody, so to get at God, he gets at you. If somebody wants to really get at me, they're going to get at my kids. And that's basically his strategy. We have also learned that we were created superior to him. We are above Satan from the beginning of creation, and he just hates that. We also learned that we can't just be devoured by the devil. He's got to seek somebody to devour. We can be undevourable. So his strategy is then to get us to devour each other, husbands, wives, families, people in the church. That's his strategy. I mean, that whole thing of diabolus, devil, divide and conquer. So he gets us to devour each other. He then picks on the ignorant, but even then I believe God has a standard where he will just step in. I mean, I had that experience as a very, very young Christian where a demon tried to overpower me. I didn't know anything about spiritual warfare, and the words came out of my mouth, "I rebuke you." I thought, what the heck is that? And it was the Spirit of God inside of me taking authority over the demon when I was completely ignorant. So that, you know, he will step in if he sees that Satan is picking on the helpless and the weak. Okay, just reading through Ephesians. It's an amazing book written by the Apostle Paul. It was written while he was in captivity, but the primary purpose of the book is to set us as captives free. Right? Isn't that amazing? Okay? So Paul starts out with, in Ephesians chapter 1, I pray for you guys for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That you, he wants you to have your identities established in Christ. He wants you to know that you are adopted, but not just adopted. You're adopted because he wanted heirs of the kingdom of God here on earth. So you were adopted primarily to become an heir. He wants you to know that every promise that is yours. Not one, not two. Every promise that he has given to us as children of God doesn't apply to the rich and the famous or to those that are in leadership. It's yours in Christ Jesus. He wants to know that we're greatly blessed in him. He also tries to break down barriers, racial barriers, neither male nor and gender barriers. Neither male nor female, Jew nor Gentile, black, white, Indian. He just says, in Christ, we are all one. He tries to break down that same division that comes into families so that they'll be united. Like he says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, because what happens then is it breaks down the unity of a family unit, because if Stephen provokes my children to anger, I attack him. No, it's true. And then he's breaking down the unit that's a family. So this is Paul's whole purpose is for us. And then he also says, I pray that you'll find your part in the body of God, that you'll either become an apostle, a preacher, a pastor, an evangelist. He says, find your part and bless the body with your gift. That's what Paul's prayer was in the book of Ephesians. And then finally he says, I pray that you'll grasp the love that God has for you. It's a huge revelation. I mean, I've prayed for years, oh God, help me to love you more. He's saying, no, grasp how much love I have for you. It's just amazing. So, and then he says, when you have all these things right, all those things right, you've done your BMT, your basic military training, finally you can get dressed to fight. And I mean, sometimes we get dressed in the armor as children long before we understand who we are in Christ. And that's when we think of the armor's fallen off of us in some places. It's the other way around. Who are you in Christ? Now you're ready to fight principalities and powers. And we've done it the other way around for years. So, we're established in Christ. We've put on the armor now. We have to see ourselves as God sees us. Now we're ready to stand. Because I'm so established in my identity in Christ that I'm his little girl, adopted. I'm his heir. I can stand. Do you know that the Ephesians church, the book that Paul wrote, the Ephesians, prior to them becoming Christians, had been involved in witchcraft and sorcery. And that is one of the reasons he writes this whole thing to the book of Ephesians, because who knows, when you've been involved in the occult, the devil doesn't let go of you very easily. I don't know if any of you have been in the occult, but I mean, I have friends, my sister was involved, he does not let go very easily. So this was primarily written to the church of Ephesians, but to you for today as well. We fight from victory and not for our victory. Christ got our victory. So the armor is not ours. It's not ours. It says put on the armor of God. If it was your armor, he would say put on your armor every day. It's not ours. It's God's armor. It's in the areas, the armor comes on us in the areas of truth, righteousness, evangelism, fighting the demonic, faith, reading the Bible, salvation, and prayer. All these things are done because Christ is inside of me, not because the devil on the outside is putting it on me to do it. Did you get that? Because the devil will ask you to be truthful, to be righteous, to evangelize, and you will always feel guilty, never enough. Like for me, like I know when I came into the understanding of the grace message, I was completely undressed. But guess what? I had had the armor of God put on me, because when I came into grace, all of a sudden, all those things that Paul was speaking to the church of Ephesians about to do became established inside of me, who I am. I'm in the line of Abraham. I'm a daughter of the Most. I'm in covenant with God. All those identity crises that I'd had my whole Christian life were established, and then the armor of God could morph itself onto me. Before that, I was vulnerable, very, very, very vulnerable. So let's read Ephesians chapter 6. I'm telling you now, you can become so comfortable in this armor that you can sleep in it, swim in it, do whatever you like in it, okay? Finally, be strong. I didn't like that word, be strong, because it speaks about my own strength. But most of the versions say, be strengthened in the Lord. It's His strength. And in His mighty power, put on. Most of the versions say, having put on. The full armor of God, sometimes it calls it the armor of light, so that when you can, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. He's always scheming. How can I get at Tanya? She's making a little bit too much influence with those ladies. Let's send those demons to get at her. He's always scheming. Scheming how to get at your husband, how to get at your wife, how to get at your children. He's a schemer. That's what he does. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Because then when once he's schemed and he's acted it out, you blame the person you love. But against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, one day, not every day. Anna, aren't you glad? A day, when the day, not all the time, you'll be able to stand your ground. You're not going to run in defeat and be fearful. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. Where are you guys? Down one. Okay. Don't worry. You don't have to go down one. I need you with my clicker. Is there nothing else? Yeah. Okay. We're not going to go on to that one now, right now. So if we could just put that one off, because we're going to talk about what Heather preached for me. So actually, I think we can finish now. Okay. First piece of armor, the belt of truth. Can we just, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the belt of truth comes onto you automatically the minute you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment you believed in him, that belt of truth was fastened around your waist. Do you know a belt keeps your whole outfit together, hey? Logan does judo. Please don't think it's demonic. It's really not. But he lost his belt. So when he did judo, his pants were falling down. And, you know, that's a strategy of the devil, is to get your pants to fall down. If you want to make somebody feel vulnerable, take their pants down. Hey? They're either going to trip or they're going to be naked. And so many guys, I know, if you don't have undies on, you're in trouble. But the belt keeps you together. It's interesting that the belt speaks, you know, the Bible speaks about the loins. This is your loin area. This is your reproductive area. But the way it speaks about the loins of your mind. Do you know that your mind is also reproductive? And when you have the belt of truth around you, it's going to affect this reproductive organ. Jesus Christ comes into your life, it changes everything about you and what you've believed. So this is what the belt of truth does. It sets us free. And it gets my mind, the loins of my mind, to line up with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says, to the obedience of Christ. Truth pulls down every pretension and stronghold, breaks chains, it breaks lies that have ruled in your mind. Stephen has that story. You all remember the story of the babysitter to try and keep the little girl in bed? Anybody know the story? Not know the story? I'm babysitting, so I don't want the little girl to get out of bed. So I tell her, if she gets out of bed, there's going to be a boogeyman that's going to come and get her. Guess what? The little girl stays in bed because she's scared of the boogeyman. Mommy comes home. She says, oh, Auntie Janet told me there's a boogeyman that's going to get me. She says, what a lot of nonsense. Janet, now you tell her the boogeyman doesn't exist. And I go, I'm sorry, I lied. Okay? The truth has now set her free. So lies, when the truth comes into a lie that has kept you captive in like a fort, you can be set free. And you know, the thing is, we can encounter truth continually throughout our Christian walk. Sometimes I think our belt is too tight, we're too stubborn, and we're not open at all to anything that God is wanting to show us. Don't let that in. That's evil. And sometimes our belts are too loose. Like Stephen, when he was a young Christian, teach me about Jehovah's Witness, teach me about this, teach me about that. His belt was too loose, and it diluted the truth of Jesus Christ that he had received. And then it also takes us into confusion. That belt has to fit you comfortably. It has to be a belt that's based in your identity with Christ and what Jesus Christ has done. So anything that comes into your life that doesn't come into alignment with what Jesus did is not truth. Don't let it into your belt, because it will reproduce poison in your mind. Okay. So the moment I believed the truth about Jesus, I agreed with God. That is repentance. That's why when you get born again, you repent, because I received Jesus Christ. I agreed that I needed a Savior. That's what the belt of truth is. And you will, if you are open to God, have many, many encounters with truth. As Stephen and I, the truth of grace hit us square in the forehead and changed us completely. There have been many encounters that I've had with truth. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. You encounter truth. So ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom, because you don't want to just open your belt to anything, and revelation. Then we've got the breastplate of righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, it is because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who has become us wisdom from God and is our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. Once again, that breastplate is morphed into your body. And this is the one thing a lot of Christians battle to get right. Am I 100% saved? God, am I holy? Can I pray for the sick? Can I love on you? Am I holy enough? You are the righteousness of Christ. You are never going to be more holy than being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can never do more than just believing that that breastplate was zapped onto your chest, morphed into your body, and when God looks at you, all he sees is righteousness. That's it. It's a little bit like with the darts of the enemy. You know, Jesus took our rubbish clothes on him. We put his beautiful clothes on him. And inside our rubbish clothes, there was a little red eye so that the enemy could follow us around. But because it's on Christ, the darts hit him. And that's why he says, whatever comes up against you, it's not coming up against you, it's coming up against me. Every dart, every arrow hits Jesus Christ before it even comes your way. We are completely protected in his armor. It's only if we don't believe it, we become open. Demons will point out everything that you do wrong so that you can open your armor, open that breastplate so you can get into your heart. The Holy Spirit will only convict you of your righteousness, and he will help us to stand in that day of evil. Then the third one, you'll have your feet fitted, morphed into your feet. I like the, I think it's a King James version where it says that your feet will be shod with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. It also says in the King James, preparation of the gospel of peace. I like that word shod, and I'll tell you why. If you take a horse and you put a horseshoe on, it's going into his body. It's becoming a part of that horse. And you know, the Romans, when they had their feet shod, it was their boots would have nails going down so that when they walked, grip, grip. And that's what he's saying. Have your feet shod, your foundation, so you're not going to fall over. Every foot you take, you're just sinking into that, and it's steadying you. So he wants your feet to be shod with the gospel of good news. And if you're hearing any other gospel other than the gospel of good news, the Bible says it is not the gospel at all. So you be careful. It has to be good news. You know, it's that whole thing. It's amazing that it says the gospel come with feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's like, have you heard that saying, I could just kiss your feet? You know, if somebody's amazing and done something amazing for you or given you a million rand, or so, oh, I can kiss your feet. It's like an expression of overwhelming gratitude. And that's what we have, is we have this overwhelming gratitude in our heart for what Jesus Christ has done for us, that we can actually have a firm foundation. We can move forward and then basically begin to tear down lies that have set themselves in our minds, because we become firmer and firmer and firmer. And another nice thing about having a firm foundation is we can take people on the journey with us. If I'm unstable and I'm going to take, have you seen two drunk people trying to hold each other up? Somebody's going to drop somebody somewhere. But when I'm stable, we've got this firm foundation. And if you don't see this as an amazing gospel that you could kiss people's feet with it, let me say, you probably haven't had a full revelation of what God has saved you from. And if you haven't had that, ask God to show you what he saved you from and what your life would look like today if you were not sitting here, or if you are not a member of the body of Christ, big body of Christ. So the Bible says that it's a firm foundation. The preparation and foundation are the same word, your house. It gives you a stability and it stops you from slipping. So the next thing we have is a shield of faith. It's our fourth weapon. And the Bible says it extinguishes all the flaming arrows. Say all flaming arrows, not some. And the Bible also says, I think it's applicable that it's a shield of faith, because the Bible says faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And the Word of God is analogy to the water of God, washing of water. And water extinguishes fire. Okay? All these kids, they play these games these days, and you've got to have water to kill fire and ice to do this. And in our lives, we've got to have faith, which comes from the Word of God. The Word of God then gives us enough water to extinguish every arrow of the evil one. Okay, and my faith, the definition of faith is how good I believe God to be. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. I just want to take this back here to say, I live by the faith of the Son of God in me. It is not a human faith. Your faith, I can tell you, I can prophesy, I can let you know now, will let you down. But God's faith that he's deposited inside of you will take you through life. And you will begin to destroy darts that the evil one shoots at you. I like the fact that also the word shield can be a door. Same word. And I just thought, that's where they got this, that you're opening the door to the evil one. You've put your shield down. But a door can also shut out bad. I mean, at night time, you close your door, put on your lock, set your alarm. It can also shut out evil. So basically, faith shuts out evil. When I believe God is so good, that he is so good, that he is so good, that nothing that's come against me is from him, not even for, he'll work it out for you, but it's not to teach you a lesson. He'll let you learn a lesson, because then you can go back and encourage others that have been through the same trials and tribulation, that it is not from God when you are going through something terrible. My sincere conviction is God is good and good alone. And I pray that for each and every one of you. And we've just got to know that we are called, that it is on the board, I mean, it's hard for me to say, we are called to a covenant of faith. We're not under the covenant of law. The new covenant is a covenant of faith. Do you know that in the old covenant, under the covenant of the law, at Mount Sinai, the Bible says that if any man or animal touched the foot of the hill, they would be to be put to death by a dart. The word dart, javelin, missile, ballistic missile, all the same word. And it's just a picture of how if we as Christians put our feet back into the law, the devil can shoot us with a dart. Don't touch the law. You have been set free from the law to live in the freedom that Christ purchased you for you at the cross. Okay, So we've all got this. We have to increase our unconscious faith. Unconscious faith is knowing that I know that I know that I know who I am. I don't have to think about it. I don't go, oh, okay, there's a dart. Okay, all right. Okay, where's my flipping shield? You know what I'm saying? Is I know that the shield of God has just morphed itself into me as part of me. When I lift my hand up, the shield is a part of my arm coming out down and across me. Okay, then we've got number five. And that is your helmet that I left in my cupboard this morning. Sorry, guys, I didn't dress up this morning for you. Because I wanted you to get dressed with me today. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. The moment you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that helmet morphs itself into your mind. Jesus Christ is our salvation, and we believe that we are saved. And the moment we believe we are saved, we have that helmet on our heads, okay? And we are saved, spirit, soul, and body. That's that sozo. God loves your body and your mind and your spirit as much as he loves your spirit. Sometimes we forget about that. We think God is just interested in what's happening on the inside of us. He loves your body. He loves your body so much, hey, Naj? He bought it at a price. And that's why sickness shouldn't be allowed on your body, is because it's not your body, it's his body. He bought it. It belongs to him. And what is in heaven should be manifest on our bodies here on earth. Basically, a helmet, when I was thinking about it, if you thought about the Roman army or even in today's army, what's on your head signifies who you are. I'm a captain, I'm a sergeant, I'm a rookie, whatever you got. In the Roman army, he would have, if he was a captain, he would have had gold with feathers or whatever the case. But I'm trying to say, a helmet is a form of your identity in the spirit realm that the spirit realm can see that sets you apart. It could be gold, it could be whatever, morphed into your head. But it's a seal and the sign of the Holy Spirit on your forehead that you belong to God. A helmet can also talk about protecting your mind. But I don't believe that it's a helmet that just covers this part. I believe it's a helmet that covers every part of your, every orifice, every vulnerable spot on your face. It's a helmet that covers you completely and protects you completely. So he saved you. That's why he says, I saved your spirit, I saved your soul, I saved your body. He wants to protect every part of you. And when it says helmet, the hope is your confident expectation of good. I confidently expect good from my God every single day of my life. Doesn't matter what's happening around me. It doesn't matter what the doctors are saying. It doesn't matter if I've been broken into or if my pool has become muddied or my house was flooded on a Friday night. I expect good from my God. So we have the mind of Christ, and I'm no longer ignorant of the schemes of the devil. Then, our sixth one is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. And then when I was praying about this, I just had such a clear picture that our swords don't come from our hands. Traditionally, I've always seen the armor of God with it in his hand. It comes from our mouth, our sword. It says in Revelation 19, verse 15, coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword. Revelation 19, 21, the entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth, one mouth, an entire army of the one riding on the white horse. And our swords do not come from our arms. We do not wield them and exercise and have to get stronger muscles in order to chop off heads. It comes from our mouths. So it's not a sword that I hold in my hand, and it's double-edged because it's both offensive and it's defensive. It's something that can protect you, and it's something that can attack on your behalf. Your mouth, your little old mouth. And it's basically using the Word of God in context to break down any demonic attack against you. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Just that simple little statement is a double-edged sword, Nicole, that'll come up against the demons that are trying to attack you. And the sword will bring truth into a situation which is trying to hold you captive, like Joshua Mills spoke about when his little girl Liberty was dying in hospital. He got every healing scripture, and he spoke it over her body, and he spoke it over her body. What he was doing there is he was cutting back at what the enemy's plans were over his daughter's life. And when we are in a situation, we speak it over our bodies, over our children's bodies, over our loved ones. We are cutting back the demonic that is trying to attack the part of our lives, because he knows if he gets to them, those that we love, he's got us. And if he's got us, our sword begins to stop functioning. Who knows, when we're sick, our sword seems to be swallowed. You can hardly talk. I have to be healthy if I want to really wield my sword. So basically, that is what it is. You speak scriptures into every situation. You declare the goodness of God, like for me, over my children. You just say, the seed of the righteous are delivered. My children are olive plants. They are pillars in the temple of God. If you take Psalm 91, let me tell you what, you will find something in there that you can use as a sword, a double-edged sword that will come out of your mouth to speak into every situation. Okay. And you need to speak those scriptures until they become rhema. And when they are rhema, it means that they are revelation. When they are revelation, those scriptures become a part of you. That sword, it will never leave your mouth. That's why he says, my words will never depart from your mouth. I just want to say, when you start speaking words of it, you cause such confusion into the demonic realm. You actually have no idea. But our problem is we speak with the sword and then we speak with the natural. And then they sort of like re-get their troop, retroop and try and attack in a different way. Okay. So the next one. Has my little picture of my guy not come up? The morph guy. I didn't even see it. Okay, cool. There was nothing really nice on the internet. I'm going to have to paint a picture. Okay. Then the seventh weapon. Traditionally, and if you go on the internet, very few people include this, is praying in the spirit. And Rob gave birth to this so beautifully at the Glory and Grace Conference this year, or Revival South Africa Conference. Praying in the spirit is your seventh weapon. The spirit rests and refreshes you. It's the home base for every soldier going back to the barracks. It's the Red Bull for the runner doing the comrades. That's what the Holy Spirit is. It rests, it refreshes, it fills you, it builds you up. And the word praying in the spirit edifies you, means that it heals you. Do you know praying in the spirit will heal you, build you, restore you? The old covenant was a covenant of law. The new covenant is a covenant of the spirit. We are called to pray in the spirit. Tongues only came after Jesus ascended. And also another thing that I think tongues does, speaking in the gift of tongues, it prophesies into your future the perfect will of God. Another one in the book of Jude, it says it keeps you in the love of God. There's just so many amazing, amazing benefits of tongues. I also believe tongues, because it's coming from your mouth, is a double-edged sword. It's speaking English words or Zulu words or Afrikaans or German or whatever you are, or Hindu words, Hindi, and it's speaking the words of the Spirit at the same time. And that's often not, when you come here, we're a bunch of weird people. For those that are newbies and visiting, yeah, we do, we pray in tongues, and we pray in our own natural language. Okay, I'm just going to read Isaiah 59, verse 21. It says, as for me, this is my covenant with them. Dun, 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 dun. He's sleeping today. Steve. Oh, there it is. It's tiny. Sorry. Forgive me. I've sinned. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you will not depart from you. And my words that I've put in your mouth will always be on your lips, on the lips of your children, on the lips of the descendants from this time and forever, says the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? So, if I'm being influenced by any form of demonic powers, I need to make my mind adjustments, pray in the Spirit. And when I've made my mind adjustments, all it is repentance. I'm agreeing with what God says about me. And then it says, with this in mind, be alert and keep on praying for all the Lord's people. You know, when the Roman army went to war, they all had shields, and they actually linked their shields together. And if arrows come from the top, they all lifted their shields. If arrows come from the bottom, they all put them. I'm just saying, so we have to learn as the body of Christ to fight together for those that we are with, like Nigel was saying. But if you're out there on your own as a little Roman soldier with your little shield trying to get at every angle, you can become pretty vulnerable. So, the demons will continue to do what they always have. They will continue to accuse God to you. Why do they accuse God to you? Because you can no longer be accused to God. He will continue to use the word out of context and tell you that you serve a shepherd who breaks your leg to keep you close to him. He will continue to lie to you about other people in this church and each other and in your families to cause division. He's just doing his job. Okay, but we've got to be not ignorant of his schemes. So you'll continue to accuse, continue to lie, and all we are called to is to stand. What's a time, Bill? It's wrong arm. Okay, I'm nearly done. All we're called to do is stand and watch God fight our enemies on our behalf. Stand. We could sit up, we could sleep, we can be on the toilet declaring the word of God. I mean, how easy is this war that we're called to be at? It's not like, I'm coming up against every demon spirit right now in Jesus' name. And then the person goes, and you're holding them down, and then they're rolling, and you quickly grab the bucket so they can vomit. We stand our ground, and we stand on their behalf, and we say, demon, leave in Jesus' name. I never saw Jesus arguing with any demons. But he did. Demons exist, because he cast them out of the pigs, and he was tempted in the desert. Okay. So, we need to be born again and spiritual. Before you can do any sort of spiritual warfare, you need to be born again. You need to become this brand new, never seen before creation with the body of Christ, with the body of the Holy Spirit just morphed into you, the armor of God. And you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to give you an opportunity today to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've never been born again, that is, said to Jesus Christ, I realize that I need you. Forgive me, come into me, put the ball. Just help me in this life because there's so many different things that are coming up against me in the natural that I actually need your assistance, God. And it came in the form of Jesus. So we need to believe the truth and receive the belt, which is Jesus. We need to believe that we are the righteousness of Jesus Christ on earth. That is our breastplate. We need to have a firm footing, a secure and a strong foundation, so others can come on the journey with us. We need to operate in this world in faith. Jesus says, will I find faith in the earth when I return? We need to have a guarded and a discerning mind. The mind of Christ, the helmet of salvation. We need to speak God's word into every situation because it extinguishes every dart, arrow, javelin, missile, ballistic missile of the evil one. We need to pray in the Spirit on all occasions simply because it causes confusion in the ranks of the enemy, simply because it builds us up and heals us and undoes what he's trying to do to us. I need to believe that I'm clothed in his armor. I can't see it, but do you know when you are in his armor, the devil can't see if you're fearful, if you're shaking, if you're shivering. He can't actually even see who you are. All he sees is the armor of God that you sealed in. And so he has to look at the people around you, try and guess at how he's going to get you to take that armor down. And he does it through lies. So we've got to recognize that the devil is more afraid of us than we are of him. So much so that he has to scheme on how to get to us. We have to be aware that he has schemes and that he will attack you through flesh, because that's what he has to do, flesh and blood. That's why, honestly, like when somebody breaks into your home, I believe with all my heart, I haven't tried, but you could do spiritual warfare. Jan, you had an experience like that where people were trying to steal the car and hijack it. She said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And the next thing, these guys ran away. And she just stood there. like, what happened? It's a spiritual war, not a flesh and blood war. So, where I'm thinking of going right now is if you have never been born again, if you know that you have never officially given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to pray together this morning. And then the other thing is, if you know that you have never officially experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life, I want us to pray together for you as well. I really don't know how to do this, but let's just pray for those that have never been born again first. If we could just close our eyes and link hands. We're going to link our shields. Pretend the hand next to you is a shield. Ka-dunk, ka-dunk, ka-dunk. There might be people in your ranks right now that are not born again, that have never given their lives to Jesus Christ. And you linking a shield with them right now so that we can come up against the powers of the demonic forces that have attacked their lives to separate them. So say after me in the quietness of, oh, let's all say it out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, I recognize you as the Savior of the world. You say that I need to believe in my heart, confess with my mouth, that you are my Savior, and I will be saved. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart and to take over my life, to forgive me for all my sins, and to make me into this brand new superhero. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to say thanks to Jane for sharing that word.